Hello and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. It's so good to see you again. My name is Steve Webb, of course. I'm your host. This is episode number 152. Today we're going to be finishing up the book of 1 Kings, and we'll read the first two chapters of 2 Kings. Let's begin. First Kings chapter 22. There was no war between Syria and Israel for 3 years. In the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah came down to visit the king of Israel. The king of Israel said to his servants, "Surely you recognize that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, though we are hesitant to reclaim it from the king of Syria." Then he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to attack Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I will support you. My army and horses are at your disposal." Then Jehoshaphat added, "First seek an oracle from the Lord." So the king of Israel assembled about 400 prophets and asked them, "Should I attack Ramoth-Gilead or not?" They said, "Attack, the sovereign one will hand it over to the king." But Jehoshaphat added, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord still here that we may ask him?" The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man through whom we can seek the Lord's will. But I despise him because he does not prophesy prosperity for me, but disaster. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat said, "The king should not say such things." The king of Israel summoned an official and said, "Quickly bring Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah were sitting on their respective thrones, dressed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. All the prophets were prophesying before them. Zedekiah, son of Canaanah, made iron horns and said, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore Syria until they are destroyed." All the prophets were prophesying the same, saying, "Attack Ramoth-Gilead, you will succeed, the Lord will hand it over to the king." Now the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the prophets are in complete agreement that the king will succeed. Your words must agree with theirs, you must predict success." But Micaiah said, "As certainly as the Lord lives, I will say what the Lord tells me to say." When he came before the king asked him, "Micaiah, should we attack Ramoth-Gilead or not?" He answered him, "Attack, you will succeed. The Lord will hand it over to the king." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you solemnly promise in the name of the Lord to tell me only the truth?" Micaiah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd." Then the Lord said, "They have no master. They should go home in peace." The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you he does not prophesy prosperity for me, but disaster?" Micaiah said, "That being the case, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord standing on his throne, with all the heavenly assembly standing on his right and on his left. The Lord said, 'Who will deceive Ahab, so he will attack Ramoth-Gilead and die there?' One said this and another that. Then his spirit stepped forward and stood before the Lord. He said, 'I will deceive him.' The Lord asked him, 'How?' He replied, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets.' The Lord said, 'Deceive and overpower him. Go out and do as you have proposed.' So now look, the Lord has placed a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours, but the Lord has decreed disaster for you." Zedekiah, son of Canaanah, approached, hit Micaiah on the jaw and said, "Which way did the Lord's spirit go when he went for me to speak to you?" Micaiah replied, "Look, you will see the day when you go into an inner room to hide." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Amon the city official and Joash the king's son. Say, 'This is what the king says. Put this man in prison, give him only a little bread and water until I safely return.'" Micaiah said, "If you really do safely return, then the Lord has not spoken through me." Then he added, "Take note, all you people." The king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah attacked Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and then enter into battle, but you wear your royal robes." So the king of Israel disguised himself and then entered into the battle. Now the king of Syria had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, "Do not fight common soldiers or high-ranking officers. Fight only the king of Israel." When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "He must be the king of Israel." So they turned and attacked him, but Jehoshaphat cried out. When the chariot commanders realized he was not the king of Israel, they turned away from him. Now an archer shot an arrow at random, and it struck the king of Israel between the plates of his armor. The king ordered his charioteer, turn around and take me from the battle line because I'm wounded. While the battle raged throughout the day, the king stood propped up in his chariot opposite the Syrians. He died in the evening. The blood from the wound ran down into the bottom of the chariot. As the sun was setting, a cry went through the camp. Each one should return to his city and to his homeland. So the king died and was taken to Samaria, where they buried him. They washed off the chariot at the pool of Samaria. This was where the prostitutes bathed. Dogs licked his blood, just as the Lord had said would happen. The rest of the events of Ahab's reign, including a record of his accomplishments and how he built a luxurious palace in various cities, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. Ahab passed away. His son Ahaziah replaced him as king. In the fourth year of King Ahab's reign over Israel, Asa's son Jehoshaphat became king over Judah. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. He followed in his father Asa's footsteps and was careful to do what the Lord approved. However, the high places were not eliminated. The people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat was also at peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events of Jehoshaphat's reign, including his successes and military exploits, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. He removed from the land any male cultic prostitutes who had managed to survive the reign of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom at this time. A governor ruled. Jehoshaphat built a fleet of large merchant ships to travel to Ophir for gold, but they never made the voyage because they were shipwrecked in Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my sailors join yours in the fleet." But Jehoshaphat refused. Jehoshaphat passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of his ancestor David. His son Jehoram replaced him as king. In the 17th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign over Judah, Ahab's son Ahaziah became king over Israel and Samaria. He ruled for 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed in the footsteps of his father and mother. Like Jeroboam, son of Nebat, he encouraged Israel to sin. He worshipped and bowed down to Baal, angering the Lord God of Israel, just as his father had done. 2 Kings chapter 1. After Ahab died, Moab rebelled against Israel. Ahaziah fell through a window lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and was injured. He sent messengers with these orders: "Go, ask Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, if I will survive this injury." But the Lord's angelic messenger told Elijah the Tishbite, "Get up, go to meet the messengers from the king of Samaria. Say to them, 'You must think there is no God in Israel. That explains why you are on your way to seek an oracle from Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron.' Therefore, this is what the Lord says: You will not leave the bed you lie on, for you will certainly die." So Elijah went on his way. When the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, "Why have you returned?" They replied, "A man came up to meet us. He told us, 'Go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says. You must think there is no God in Israel. That is why you are sending for an oracle from Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you will not leave the bed you lie on, for you will certainly die.'" The king asked them, "Describe the appearance of this man who came up to meet you and told you these things." They replied, "He was a hairy man and had a leather belt tied around his waist." The king said, "He is Elijah the Tishbite." The king sent a captain and his 50 soldiers to retrieve Elijah. The captain went up to him while he was sitting on the top of a hill. He told him, "Prophet, the king says, come down." Elijah replied to the captain, "If I am indeed a prophet, may fire come down from the sky and consume you and your 50 soldiers." Fire then came down from the sky and consumed him and his 50 soldiers. The king sent another captain and his 50 soldiers to retrieve Elijah. He went up and told him, "Prophet, this is what the king says, come down at once." Elijah replied to them, "If I am indeed a prophet, may fire come down from the sky and consume you and your 50 soldiers." Fire from God came down from the sky and consumed him and his 50 soldiers. The king sent a third captain and his 50 soldiers. The third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. He begged for mercy. "Prophet, please have respect for my life and for the lives of these 50 servants of yours. Indeed, fire came down from the sky and consumed the two captains who came before me, along with their men. So now please have respect for my life." The Lord's angelic messenger said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Don't be afraid of him." So he got up and went down with him to the king. Elijah said to the king, "This is what the Lord says. You sent messengers to seek an oracle from Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. You must think there is no God in Israel from whom you can seek an oracle. Therefore, you will not leave the bed you lie on, for you will certainly die. He died just as the Lord had prophesied through Elijah. In the second year of the reign of King Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, over Judah, Ahaziah's brother Jehoram replaced him as king of Israel, because he had no son. The rest of the events of Ahaziah's reign, including his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 2. Just before the Lord took Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Some members of the prophetic guild in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. Some members of the prophetic guild in Jericho approached Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you?" He answered, "Yes, I know. Be quiet." Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he replied, "As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they traveled on together. The 50 members of the prophetic guild went and stood opposite them at a distance, while Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, folded it up, and hit the water with it. The water divided, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha answered, "May I receive a double portion of the prophetic spirit that energizes you?" Elijah replied, "That's a difficult request. If you see me taken from you, may it be so, but if you don't, it will not happen." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses appeared. They went between Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven in a windstorm. While Elisha was watching, he was crying out, "My father, my father, the chariot and horsemen of Israel!" Then he could no longer see him. He grabbed his clothes and tore them in two. He picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen off him, and went back and stood on the shore of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen off Elijah, hit the water with it, and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he hit the water, it divided, and Elisha crossed over. When the members of the prophetic guild in Jericho, who were standing at a distance, saw him do this, they said, "The spirit that energized Elijah rests upon Elisha." They went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. They said to him, "Look, there are 50 capable men with your servants. Let them go and look for your master, for the wind sent from the Lord may have carried him away and dropped him on one of the hills or in one of the valleys." But Elisha replied, "Don't send them out." But they were so insistent, he became embarrassed. So he said, "Send them out." They sent the 50 men out, and they looked for 3 days, but could not find Elijah. When they came back, Elisha was staying in Jericho. He said to them, "Didn't I tell you don't go?" The men of the city said to Elisha, "Look, the city has a good location, as our master can see, but the water is bad and the land doesn't produce crops." Elisha said, "Get me a new jar and put some salt in it." So they got it. He went out to the spring and threw the salt in. Then he said, "This is what the Lord says, I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or fail to produce crops. The water has been pure to this very day, just as Elisha prophesied." He went up from there to Bethel. As he was traveling up the road, some young boys came out of the city and made fun of him, saying, "Go on up, Baldy, go on up, Baldy." When he turned around and saw them, he called God's judgment down on them. 2 female bears came out of the woods and ripped 42 of the boys to pieces. From there, he traveled to Mount Carmel and then back to Samaria. Well, there's a good topic for study right there. Perhaps the message there is, don't disrespect God's chosen. Something to think about. In case you hadn't noticed, we're approaching the halfway mark in our journey through God's Word in 1 year. Thank you so much for sticking with us and being a part of the LifeSpring family. May the rest of your day be blessed, and I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Steve Webb.
The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.